from the second book of Chronicles, the second book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul's second letter to Corinthians chapter 5. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore we are always confident, and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done whilst in the body, whether good or bad. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope is also plain to your conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen, rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we're in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Well, may God bless to us that reading from his word. We're going to look together at that passage we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. If we went around this area and asked people the simple question, what is a Christian? We would, I'm sure, get a whole load of different answers. Some people think that anyone born in Britain must be a Christian, just as people born in Thailand are likely to be Buddhists, people born in Saudi Arabia likely to be Muslims, so anyone born in the British Isles must be a Christian, so they think. Others have the idea that if your parents are Christians, that automatically makes you a Christian. It goes from generation to generation. Then there are people who think that if they were taken to church as a baby and had some water sprinkled on them, that made them Christians. Others believe that anyone who lives a decent kind of life, hasn't done anything outrageous, like murder, is a Christian. There are many strange ideas as to what is a Christian. And of course there are those who just rubbish the whole thing and regard all professing Christians as fools and idiots. They see some way out group on television and they dismiss all Christians as fools and idiots. If we want to know what a Christian is, we need to go to the first leaders of the New Testament church and hear what they have to say about what a Christian is. And one of those early church leaders was the Apostle Paul, and he tells us exactly what a Christian is in this verse in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, if anyone is a Christian, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. In other words, a Christian is a person who's undergone a radical change. He's a new creation, as it were. Let me just remind you of the background of this letter. Some of the people in the church in Corinth were saying that Paul must be out of his mind, going around preaching the gospel, often in danger, often in prison. He must be out of his mind. Must be a madman. And Paul answers that in chapter 5, verse 13. He says, if we're out of our mind, as some of you seem to think, if we're mad, as some of you seem to think, then it is for God's sake. That's why we take risks and face hardship and suffering to spread the gospel. Not because we're mad, but for the sake of God. We owe everything to him. And for his sake, we do this. So what is new about a Christian? Their physical appearance is the same. Their eyes are the same color. Their build is the same. Their academic ability remains the same. They live in the same house. They do the same job. So in what way is the Christian a new person, a new creation? Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. It's as though he's been recreated. It's as though he's been born again. So what's new? Let me list for you some of the ways in which the Christian is a new creation. I can't mention them all. They're too numerous, but let me mention some of the main ones. First of all, the Christian is a person who has a new opinion of self. Before he or she became a Christian, they thought they were rather good people. If they believed in God at all, they believed that God was pleased with them and would be sure to give them a place in heaven. And if anyone dared to call them a sinner, they were rather annoyed and upset. They were up in arms. That's how Paul was before he became a Christian. He was a self-righteous Pharisee, so proud of himself, so proud of his goodness, so-called. And that's how we were before we became Christians. But when a person becomes a Christian, they have a wholly new view of themselves. They now see that they've done wrong in God's sight. They now see that they're rebels against God. They now see that they have no right of themselves to enter heaven. In fact, they do see that they deserve God's anger because of their sin against him. They have a whole new view of themselves. Instead of being proud Pharisees, feeling so good about themselves, they now realize they're poor sinners, totally dependent upon God's grace and mercy. That's the first way in which the Christian is a new creation. He has an entirely, she has an entirely new view of self. Secondly, the Christian has an entirely new attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. Before he or she became a Christian, they had a wrong opinion of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had no time for him, really. At best, they just ignored him. At worst, they dismissed him as a religious fake. That's how this man Paul had been before he became a Christian. That's how he had thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about in verse 16, where he says, "We once regarded Christ in a worldly way." He means, before I became a Christian, I regarded Christ as the world does. I dismissed him. I didn't bother about him. I regarded him as a fake. I thought of him in worldly terms. But now my whole view of Christ is changed. The Christian has an entirely new attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. We now realize that Jesus was and is the Son of God. We now realize that some 2,000 years ago, he left the splendor of heaven, where he'd been from all eternity, and he came to this world in order to die for us upon the cross. We're convinced, says Paul in verse 14, that he died for all, not just for Jews, but Gentiles too, not just for the rich, but for the poor as well, not just for the educated with a host of degrees and doctorates, but for those who are uneducated, not just for white people, but for black people too, not just for black people, but for white people also. We realize now that Jesus is not a fake. We realize now that Jesus Christ is somebody very special. He's the Son of God, came from heaven, came to this world, and he died upon the cross for men and women of all nations, all colors, all degrees of education. He died upon the cross to save them from the sin. Once Jesus Christ meant nothing to us. I can remember a time when the Lord Jesus Christ meant absolutely nothing to me. But now, well, as we just sung, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. That hymn, of course, was written by a man who had been a blaspheming sailor involved in the slave trade, John Newton. But then he saw how wonderful the Lord Jesus Christ is and became a Christian. And his whole view of the Lord Jesus Christ is changed. Jesus, he says, is now my shepherd, brother, friend, my prophet, priest and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end. And he needs to accept the praise that I bring. My friend, if you are not trusting in Christ, if you've never seen that he is your one and only hope of being saved, if you've still got an old view of Christ, that he's really a nobody, someone I can ignore, just maybe a good teacher, but that's all. If you have that kind of worldly view of Christ, you dismiss him as your savior, well then you're not a Christian. A Christian is a person who's got a new view of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a new creation, you see. Got a new opinion of self, a new attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. Following on from that, a Christian is a person who has a new standing before God. A new standing before God. What I mean is this. Before we became Christians, we stood before God as guilty men and women. The prisoner in the dock of the Old Bailey Criminal Court in London. He's just been found guilty. So he stands there in the dock, guilty in the sight of the judge. And that's how we were before we became Christians. Guilty in the eyes of God. My friend, if you're not a Christian, that is still your standing before God. You're guilty in God's eyes. Guilty of sinning against Him. Guilty of ignoring Him. That's your standing before God, guilty. But wonder of wonders, when someone believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and becomes a Christian, their whole standing before God is radically changed. It's entirely new. God proceeds to look upon us no longer as guilty, but as forgiven men and women. No longer as unrighteous, but as righteous men and women. How does that happen? Well, it happens like this. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross, our sin was laid upon Him. Our guilt was transferred to Him. And He was punished in our place. Paul puts it like this in verse 21. God made Him to be sin for us, He who knew no sin. God took our guilt, our sin, and laid it upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Then His righteousness was transferred to us when we believed on Him. His perfect righteousness was transferred to us. Let me put it like this. Let me give an illustration. Suppose I'm in debt to the taxman, the Inland Revenue. I'm in terrible, terrible debt. And I'm going to be thrown into prison. I'm guilty. I'm in debt to the Inland Revenue. But I have a very good friend, Gerald, here, you see. And he gets in touch with the tax man and says, I understand Basil Howlett is in debt, in danger of going to prison. Transfer his debt to my account, and I'll pay it for him. That's what Jesus did in a much more wonderful way when He died upon the cross. I was guilty. You were guilty. Guilty before God. And we were threatened to a terrible place called hell. But our debt, what we owed, was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And He paid it for us. And so we have a whole new standing in the sight of God. No longer guilty, but forgiven. No longer unrighteous, but righteous. If any man is in Christ, any woman is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. Now has a new view of self. I'm a poor sinner. A new view of Christ. He's a wonderful Savior. A new standing before God. No longer guilty, but forgiven and righteous. Following on from that, fourthly, we have a new relationship with God. Because all our sin has been dealt with and forgiven, we can now come to God and have a good relationship with Him. He receives us and welcomes us. To use the word that Paul uses in verse 18, a Christian is a person who's been reconciled to God. God has reconciled us to Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, before we became Christians, we were out of touch with God. We were estranged from God. You sometimes hear of a married couple who are estranged. They once were in harmony with each other, but now they're out of harmony with each other. They're estranged. There's a great gulf between them. That's how it was between us and God. We were estranged from God. We were far away from God. We were enemies of God. We were hostile to God. You used to say, why should I bother about God? Why should I bother to worship Him? Why should I bother to read His Word? There was this great gulf between us and God. But now, because the Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with our sin, we've been reconciled to God. You sometimes hear of a couple who've been in difficulty in their marriage, and they've parted for a while, but now they've been reconciled. It's wonderful. And that's what's happened between us and God. We were once far away from Him, hostile to Him, really, and He was angry with us because of our sin. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been reconciled to Him, and now there's a good relationship between us and Him. Then, the fifth thing, the fifth way in which a Christian is a new creation is this. He now has a new destiny. You see, we're all going somewhere. We're all heading for a final destiny beyond this life. This life is not all. Beyond this life, there's an eternal destiny waiting everyone. An eternal destiny, it'll either be in a dreadful place called hell, or a wonderful place called heaven. And before we became Christians, our destiny was that awful place called hell. Jesus spoke of that more than anybody else. He said, don't fear those who can kill the body, and after that have nothing they can do. I'll tell you who you should fear. Fear Him, fear God, who's got the power to cast both body and soul into hell. That's where we were destined before we became Christians, to eternal woe, eternal punishment. But the moment we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, our destiny was changed. We're now on the way to a glorious future in heaven. There's going to be a great judgment day, one day. Every man, woman will be summoned to stand before God, and their eternal destiny will be announced. For those of us who are Christians, it will be an eternal destiny in heaven. It used to be an eternal destiny in hell. But now, our destiny has changed. You see, we're new creatures. We're a new creation. Everything's different now. Our outward appearance is the same. Our educational abilities are the same. But we've changed radically. We have a new view of self. We have a new view of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a new standing before God. We have a new relationship with God, and we have a new destiny to which we're heading. And then lastly, we have a new set of priorities. A new set of priorities. That may not happen immediately when we become Christians, but gradually as we go through Christian life, we have a new set of priorities. Before we became Christians, our great priority was to live for ourselves. Our great priority was me, my pleasure, my possessions, my pension, my job, my house, my garden, my car. Me, mine. But now that we're Christians, their whole set of priorities changes. Now the Lord Jesus Christ becomes the central person. Last year at the conference at Aberystwyth, that some folks from this church go to, the speaker was Paul Mallard. My wife and I have known Paul and his wife 10 years. And Paul Mallard said in the course of his addresses last year, when I proposed to my wife, I said to her, you'll never be the first person in my life. The first person will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And she replied, that's wonderful, that's the kind of man I want. A man who put the Lord Jesus Christ first at all times. And that should be true of us, all as Christians, and this new set of priorities. We put the Lord Jesus Christ first. What does He wish me to do? What is pleasing to Him? How does He want me to live? What does He want me to say in this particular situation? And that governs the whole of life now on. And then also, another new priority we have is to make the gospel known to other people. We ourselves have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. We ourselves have been forgiven. That's wonderful. We have this new relationship with God. And now one of our great priorities is to make that gospel known to others. Paul says that in this chapter. The Corinthians, some of them were saying, Paul, you must be mad. Going around the world preaching the gospel, sometimes being thrown into prison, sometimes being shipwrecked. You must be mad, Paul. Paul says, if I'm mad, if I'm beside myself, it's for God's sake. And he says, in this passage, the love of Christ constrains me. You want to know why I'm a missionary, going around the world, suffering shipwreck and all the rest of this? You want to know? The love of Christ compels me. Now that I'm a Christian, I have a new sense of priorities to live for Christ and to do His will. His love compels me to serve Him. That word compel is a fascinating word. Remember the story of Jesus? That woman came and touched Him. Jesus was in a crowd of people. And someone came and touched Jesus to be healed. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, look, Master, the crowd is pressing you. And you ask, who touched you? Now that word which is used there to describe the crowd pressing on somebody is the same word that is used in Corinthians 5, for the love of Christ constrains me. The love of Christ compels me, is pressing on me. I was once at Manchester United when I was a student. Football ground, Old Trafford, when Manchester United played Real Madrid way back in the early 1960s. It was before the days of crowd control, before the days where there was massive seating in the stadiums. And I was standing on the terraces. I only weighed 10 stone at that time. And I was standing on the terraces. Every time Manchester United scored a goal, the crowd surged forward, and I was carried off my feet. The crowd pressed on me, and I was carried off my feet. It was a bit frightening, really. And that's the word Paul is using. Same word that Jesus used, or the disciples used, Master, the crowd is pressing on you. And Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians, the love of Christ presses on me. It gets me with all the force and momentum of a great crowd and carries me off my feet. That compels me to preach the gospel. A new set of priorities. If any man, woman is in Christ, he's a new creation. She's a new creation. That's Paul's definition of a Christian. Not just someone who was born on in a so-called Christian country. Not someone who was taken to church in a pram and had some water sprinkled on their head. Not some person who's had a Christian mother or father, privileged as that may be. But a person who's a new creation. They've got a new view of themselves. We are poor sinners. They've got a new view of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a wonderful Savior who died for me. They've got a new relationship with God. No longer guilty, but forgiven and righteous. They've got a new relationship with God. No longer strangers, but God's children. They've got a new destiny on the way to heaven instead of hell. They've got a new set of priorities. Christ comes first. I want to please Him in all that I do. Can I ask you, my dear friend? Are you a new creation? Has God done a great miracle in your life? A Christian, not just someone who says, I'm a Christian, brought up in a Christian country. A Christian is a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ.